Everybody have your sword today, ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Micah chapter 6, if you'll turn there with me, I'll give you a little while because it's unfamiliar territory. Micah chapter 6. Today I'm going to talk to you about the best ways in the best way to live your life. Aren't you glad you came to know today so you'll know how to live your life now? How many knows that's a pretty broad statement, isn't it? The older I get, the more I realize that the best way to live your life is within the boundaries of God, being who God created you to be. It's really it, because for so many years I thought, you know, my views and my ways were right. Most of us do, especially when we're younger. You know, when I started this series, remember I said the best way is to do it God's way, the second best way is to do it my way, and the third best way is to do it your way. And if you were given that statement, that's probably how you would see it. But the older I get, the more I appreciate people and their differences. How about you? People are different, aren't they? And that's what makes the world go round. That's Miss Jana is so much different than me. And I told you a week or so ago, I've been studying a book and reading, and I'm going to do a little teaching to part of her staff next week on introverts. The Advantage of the Introvert is the name of the book, and it's nothing. I didn't discover anything new. I just discovered why she's different in areas and how she re-energizes. And I'll probably do a lesson on that before long here. But just gaining an understanding of people and appreciating people, who they are, where they are, what they're doing, I think is a mature thing in our life that we can just begin to enjoy God's beauty and the differences that we have, instead of picking at people that are different and picking at your ways that are different than mine. We all kind of learn our personalities around here. We're family, but sometimes people get on your nerves. Hey, would you agree? Well, guess what? Sometimes you get on our nerves too. But I thought, you know, it's just, we're all uniquely and fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And I thought, as I was thinking about that, I thought, I'm going to just do a message on the best way to live your life. But I think that's really the way. It's just in the boundaries of this word to be you. I think that's the best way to live life. But God makes it pretty simple. And Micah was talking to the people, and they're saying, you know, God really doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your stuff. How many knows anything that you have today, God, that you want to give back? When you gave your tithe or offering a while ago, anything that you ever give back to God, it belonged to Him anyway. I was thinking about that, meditating on it the other day, and I thought, when we give stuff to God, it would be like, if you have children, it'd be like them going and wrapping something up in your house that they already have and giving you this gift. My kids have done that before. You know, Summer's a giver, and so when she'd have nothing to give as a kid, she'd wrap something up we owned anyway and give it to us and won't praise for it, you know. And that's kind of the way we are. We whatever we give to God, He owns it anyway. This is all His, and so it'd be like us as little kids giving back what God. And so that's not. He said that's not it. And then He gave something, a little simple statement. The first time I ever remember this as a young Christian, it's just been kind of a favorite verse of mine. In Micah 6:8, he finally comes down to the brass tacks of what God really is looking for in our lives, how to live our life. And he says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. Aren't you glad God has shown us what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly? And all he's saying there is, you know what, do the right thing. Just do the right thing. And you say, well, what is the right thing? Well, it lines up with the Word of God. It's whatever God's Word says. And sometimes the right thing is very difficult, and it's hard to do the right thing. And so he put this next statement in, because sometimes doing the right thing it can be so difficult, like forgiving someone, loving someone that's hard to love, forgiving someone, whatever it may be. He says, to love mercy. To love mercy. He didn't say tolerate mercy. Some of us love mercy if we're needing mercy, right? And then it's we love mercy when we need mercy. It's harder though to love mercy when you're trying to give mercy, isn't it? Especially if you know that's not one of your gifts. And some of you that have the gift of mercy, you do love mercy. You operate in it all the time. Jerry Nicely is one of the greatest examples I know of somebody with the gift of mercy. She has so much mercy in her heart. I guess that's why he gave her Olin. Miss Nicely has often said of me and Jana, she said, you know, there's marriages that are just made in heaven. Said, for you two, for you, Jack and Jana, you just deserve each other. You deserve each other. I never figured out what that means. I think it's a compliment. That's the way I'm taking it. You deserve each other. We were at Stratford last night at a formal banquet her company was sponsoring, and the bank is a bank, and it's just set up in the lobby. It looked like it's a cruise ship because they just had it. I mean, everybody's in their suits and ties and tuxedos and formal, and it just beautiful. And one of the girls that I had seen, ladies I had seen in the paper last week, it was Mary Gallup Garber, and I thought, I think I went to school with her. And she was there last night with her husband, Dr. Garber, and he's an eye doctor, and she's the CFO of Valley View Hospital. And we were talking, and she said, didn't you graduate from Stratford, you left, didn't you? And I said, yes, and this is the reason, and I pointed to my wife, that I left 41 years ago from our high school. I thought, God wants to direct us. He wants to give us, if we just do what's right. I think marrying her was right. I think loving her was right and sharing my life was right. And then everything we do, I think, is if we'll follow these two things, to do justly, do the right thing, and to love mercy. And then he says, walk humbly with your God. And don't forget, before he put to walk humbly with your God, do the right thing and to love mercy. To love mercy, and he'll add to you everything that you need to walk humbly with him, and he'll give you a good life. I mean, some people just have long life; they don't have good life; they just have long life. Some people, my little grandmother, she was a missionary Baptist all her life, and very devout to the church and prayer and all the things. And you'd go in her house, and she'd be watching TBN on there. I mean, it's very, but once my grandfather died, she lost purpose, and just like she would just get on to God about leaving her here by herself. And I think it took her about 15, 20 years to calm down enough that he could bring her home without getting in trouble. And he finally took her home. But I saw her, and she never had that, this life, you know, walking humbly with her God and seeing that life that he promised us and all. And then I thought about 1 Peter. He said, therefore, then 1 Peter 5, 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. So as we're doing what's right and we're loving mercy for others, not just ourselves, and we're walking with him, he says, you know what? There's coming a time he'll exalt you in areas. Summer called last night, and she said, I was the hit of the party tonight. She took some stuff to a baby shower and had prepared some stuff, and she said, I just thought I'd call because it felt so good. I thought, we all like to feel like the hit of the party from time to time, right? And I thought, that's the way we should feel with God when we're walking with him and we're doing what's right. Every once in a while, he said, you just keep loving that mercy. I know it's hard, but you keep loving mercy, and you keep doing what's right, and there's coming a time I'm just going to exalt you. The CEO of Jana's branch of the Chickasaw Nation come by. He sat at her table a little while, and then before he left, he patted her on the shoulder and said, I hear good things about you. And I'm telling you, she's had to have some mercy in this department she's in because of certain people that's been associated with her. And she has. And I thought, right there, there's a good example. And in due time, he will exalt you. We don't have to worry about getting recognition or exalting ourselves. We just have to wait on the Lord just to do what's right and love mercy for us and for others and to walk humbly with God. And in due time, he said, I'll exalt you. It's interesting to me in 1 Peter, he said, he followed up with, you know what, if you're going to wait and let God exalt you, he said, you need to cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. In prayer this morning, I told Philip, just pray for me. I said, you know, one day you feel good, and the next day you don't feel so good, and it's just, I'm tired of that, and try to rest, and, you know, and keep that in balance. And so night air kind of messes my ears, so I'll take Kleenex out of my pocket and put my ears far, go outside. I thought, is this what getting old is? Is this what this is? Paper hanging out your ears and, you know, and running for cover to go outside. And I said, I told Philip, I said, just pray for him. He said, well, cast all your care. I said, I'm casting hard as I can. I'm trying to, that means just cast as hard as you can. You're tired of casting. Come here, catch, please, catch it. But we're just called to do what's right. When we feel good or don't feel good, when we're exalted or we're not, we're criticized. He said, you know what, this doesn't change. Here's the simple boundaries he gave us. It's just to do the right thing, to love mercy. And really, mercy, all it is be nice. I mean, you know, we hear our kids telling their kids, be nice. And some of you telling kids around here, be nice. And that's all God's telling us. Be nice. Be kind to one another. Kindness, that's really what mercy is. Be kind to one another. You know, and if we're kind to one another, and it's almost like the same thing if you go over in the New Testament, and he said, let's love God. That's walking humbly with him with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. That's humbly walking with him. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Same kind of a New Testament translation of that. And I'd like for you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Because really, I think Proverbs chapter 3 just breaks it down. What he's saying here to us in Micah, this really just breaks it down a little farther. The thing he does, the author here, he gives us benefits. I mean, he knows there's always benefits when we serve God. Oh, there always is. You know, it may not be monetary, it may be. I think God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory as we give. But he will make life right. And this gives some of the benefits of what Micah chapter 6 was talking about. Proverbs 3, verse 1, he says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, or keep my commands. Don't forget my law and keep my commands. And by the way, that's probably written by Solomon, and his law and his commands come from the Word of God. And so, literally, you could say God's law and God's commands, don't forget that, and to walk into that. And he says, here's the fruit. When we remember the law and the commands and walk in them for length of days, and not just length of days, but long life, long life. Last night at the banquet, one of the gentlemen we met, this Janus CEO, he said, someone asked him, how are you doing? And he said, well, we're kind of in mourning right now. And they mentioned it. One of the bank presidents in Ada, Oklahoma, had walked out in his backyard last week and committed suicide. And Bill says, I've known Bill for a long time, and Bill says, he was a part of the board for Landmark, and he said, we're a real close-knit group. And, you know, when you're close to someone, they commit suicide, and you don't pick up on it. There's some, you know, some kind of guilt. You know, why didn't I pick up on that? But we're good at hiding things, aren't we? We're pretty good at putting our emotions and hiding them and all. One of the things I discovered in that book, Introvert Advantage, is introverts are really better at that than extroverts. We think out loud. Extroverts think out loud. And so you know what we're thinking most of the time. Not that you like it, but you just know what we're thinking because we tell you. But he says, for length of days and long life is part of the fruit of not forgetting this law, this command to be nice. And then he says this, and here's what was lacking probably in this president's life and most of us. And he says, and peace they will add to you. I've often thought, wouldn't it be something if we could come in and bottle this peace up that we carry as Christians and let somebody say, just drink this, you know, turn it into liquid and say, just drink this. Wouldn't it be nice to say, take you a dose of this peace that God has given me and just let them drink of that. And and experience the peace of God that passes understanding. Sometimes we don't even know why we're at peace. We just know we are. But he said, that's a part of the fruit. That's a part of the fruit of doing justly or doing the right thing and being kind, being nice and walking with God. One of the things I thought about here is, you know, for some of your young people, that they don't walk in the commandments of God and they die at a very young age. And I thought, really, that's no respecter of age. When we start living our own life and not doing what God has called us to do, it can be very, very dangerous, even to death. Verse 3, let not mercy, and remember, he said, love mercy. So he says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. And he gives us a visual picture, and he says, bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. David put it this way, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And he says, and so we need to take this and make mercy and truth, those boundaries that God has set up, make them a part of our life, saying, that's where we're transformed. You know, we're renewed and transformed, right, by the reading of the Word of God. How many has been transformed in some areas? Used to, you were this way, but now you're not anymore. One of the reasons I appreciate our board so much is I see maturity and I see growth in them, and it just blesses me to see the growth and see men of God that they're concerned about the will of God and the mind of God. I love hanging out with people like that. And he says, and as you love mercy and truth and you don't forsake them, he says, you write them on your heart. In other words, you're living. These are your values now. He says, here's the fruit, verse 4. So find favor in high esteem. Find favor in high esteem in the sight of God and man. See, that's a fruit of walking and operating in mercy and truth. Let me ask you a question. How many just say, I appreciate being around people that are kind? They're the same. You don't have to worry about it. And then there's other people that you call them and think, wonder what kind of mood they're going to be in today. What should I say? What should I refrain from saying? You know. And those people very seldom ever find favor and high esteem because they don't sow to that. And they don't develop close relationships because they're not approachable. But he said, if you follow mercy and if you follow truth, and that's you bind them around you, you get them in your heart, you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. That's a promise from God's word. Verse 5, he said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. How many knows that's a tall order? How many would say it's a lot easier to trust in the Lord with some of your heart? I've thought before, I wish he'd have gave us a percentage. Maybe trust in the Lord with 90% of your heart. But he didn't say that, did he? The goal is to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And here's what we like to do. An area that I'm strong in, that I have strength, and you don't trust God in there, I like to shoot you. You ought to be more like me. In an area you're strong in, you can shoot people because you have that area all intact. You no problems in that area. You should be more like me when we're fretting in areas that we're strong in. Someone else is, you know. And we don't do it, you know, with haughty attitude. So sin nature to say, well, I can't believe you struggle with that, whatever that is that we're not struggling with. He said, but if you'll trust in him with all your heart, and I think this is the next line is why he gives us a kind of a clear understanding of why it's hard for us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not. That means it's our personal, it's our natural tilt to understand things in our own logic. Men, we're really guilty in that area. We just basically deal in logic. For instance, if you come up to me and maybe you're trying to give me body language signals that you're not doing well, and I say, how you doing? You say, oh, I'm fine. I just really kind of take that at value. You're doing fine. And then my wife would say something about, I wonder what was wrong with them. I said, there's nothing wrong with them. They were fine. She said, really? You think they were fine? I said, well, that's what they said. She said, Jack. And I'm just leaning on my understanding. And I'm better than I used to be. But when something happens to us, how many knows there's God's Word, and then there's our own understanding. And here's the secret, I think. You know what? He says, when we're trusting in the Lord, we need to acknowledge Him. Verse 6, acknowledge Him in all your ways. If you're going to trust in Him with all your heart, you have to acknowledge Him in all your ways. That's where the transformation, the renewing comes from. When this happened, you know, for instance, when this happened to me years ago, someone offended me, I was offended back. I was hurt. I was whatever. But now, in this new thinking, this new transformation, when someone offends me, I'm thinking, how can I restore that? How can I fix that? What can I do, God? What do you want me to do from your word? Because I've learned that when we just ask and let it lay there for a minute, He'll tell us what He wants us to do. And how many knows that's all that's required? To walk humbly with your God. That's what walking humbly was. It's my feelings don't matter now like they used to matter. That's not what it's about. It's about restoration. It's about restoring. What do you want me to do? That's walking humbly with your God. And when you hear that, you just begin to walk humbly with your God and say, I think this is what God wants me to do. Listen, that's the best you can give. If you and I really do what we feel God wants us to do, that's the best we can give. And God is pleased with that. You ever at home, and when you was a kid, and your mother or dad, whoever was your guardian over you, you were in maybe some kind of turmoil with a sibling or a friend or someone, and they made you give them a hug? Or tell your brother you're sorry. And it come out something like this, sorry. You ever done that? Sorry. And I'm amazed at parents to say, well, you don't, you know, and try to follow up on that. Usually I'm okay with, you know, as long as they don't strike at somebody while they're saying they're sorry or something, you know, I'm okay with that. Because I know that sometimes what our actions takes a little while for our emotions to catch up with our actions. Have you ever noticed that in the kingdom? When God says forgive, and you begin trying to forgive, and you don't feel like forgiving, but you try to forgive, or He says to give over here to someone, or this instance, and you don't feel like giving, but you give, and all in these feelings, you have to, that's when we begin to lean on our own understanding. And we have to be very careful with that, because if we start leaning on our own understanding, we're going to have to lead our own life. And how many knows we don't do very well leading our own lives? It's just better when God leads. And so our understanding is always going to come into play when we're trying to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Listen, church, that's why we need to read this book and get it in our heart, because He said there's going to come a time when it's going to be hard. You're going to face issues and life's going to happen. I was at the gas station gassing up this morning, and a gentleman got out. He says, a beautiful day, isn't it? I said, it's a beautiful, beautiful day. And he says, I said, well, what's on your schedule today or something? And he said, well, I'm just going to enjoy this sunshiny day with my new hip. His new hip. You know what? That man has a better understanding of people in pain. He has a better understanding that this is a gift that God has given. And I thought, you know, whatever it takes, Lord, for us to learn not to lean on our own understanding, not to be judgmental, not to give praise for the day. One of Jana's, not her boss, but her chief officer in their department last night, she said, I don't like my house. Her and her husband sitting there, and found out it's an old historical home, and you have to have permission, you know, to do certain things to keep it in this historic sense. Her husband, Matt's about 10 years younger, and he said, I love our home. Now, I'm a life coach and a pastor, and there's red flags going off everywhere. There needs to be an understanding. There needs to be a There needs to be a coming together. There need to acknowledge God, because that's not good. And she told me, you know, he don't want to remodel, and if he does, he wants to do it himself, and he's slow, and he's this and that. And I said, you need to enjoy your home. I'm sure it's beautiful. She makes a lot of money, and I'm sure it's beautiful. But I said, you need to just learn to enjoy your home. Listen, when we're acknowledging God, and we're humbly walking before Him, and we're loving mercy, you know, we're kind to people, and we're kind to ourselves, and we're doing what's right. How many knows Jesus said, I've come that you can have life, and you can have it more abundantly. It doesn't matter where you are socially, you ought to be enjoying your life as a child of a living God, right where you are. I said, why don't you enjoy your house right where you are? Because how many knows that's a choice. You can enjoy what you have, or you can curse what you had and fret over what you don't have. That's a choice. And it's always amazing to me, it's not about money. People with a lot of money, people with a little money, it's still about a choice to be happy right where you are. Right where you are. It's a choice. And part of that says, God, I want to just give this to you. I want to acknowledge you and where I'm at right now. And listen to this. He said, if you'll trust in the Lord with all your heart, if you'll stop leaning, if you and I will stop leaning on our own understanding, I just don't understand. We don't have to understand everything, but if we'll trust Him, He said, and acknowledge Him, and whatever we're going through, here's the fruit, and He shall direct your path. How many says, God just is, I trust God to direct my path. And He's still talking to His people. My sheep know my voice, and another they'll not hear. He's still hearing you, and it's kind of like David said, you know God because God knows you. You know God because God knows you. He knows you. He knows right where you are. He created you. You know the person that you can't stand most on this planet? He created them too. He probably brought them to you on purpose. Show you how to love mercy. To love mercy. Now, if you're like me and Jan Murray and you scored low in mercy, that's a tougher assignment for you. We tolerate mercy, right, Jan? We're trying to love it. Until, you know, I think it helps me to remember that I love mercy when I need it. So if I can do that, I can learn to love it when you need it. I can learn to love it. But He said He'll direct your path. And is there anything else that we need? The CEO that just blew his brains out the other day, is there anything more that he needed than the peace of God and God to direct his path? I don't think so. His title didn't help him. His money didn't help him. His status didn't help him. His clout, whatever he had, it didn't help him. What he needed was just that simple little to live it out, you know, just to do justly, to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. It's a simple thing, but we make it complex because we got our sin nature in there, and we lean on our understanding and all. But He said He'll direct your path if you want Him to, if you'll acknowledge Him and stop, you know, trust Him and stop leaning on what we think. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know what I think it's saying in our terminology today? Don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all. Even in the areas of your expertise, if you're not a know-it-all, and if I'm not a know-it-all, we can learn something. Even in our field of expertise, we can learn something if we're not a know-it-all. You ever talk to somebody that just know more about you and everything they talk about? They just know a lot, and I can't wait to just share all they know. I like the little sign. You ever seen the sign to the teenagers? Hey, teenager, why don't you move out and get a job and make your own life while you're still young and know it all? You ever seen that? And then the older you get, the more you think, ooh, what you didn't know. Some people never grow out of that. But he said, you know what? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Listen, God's always teaching us and training us and growing us, isn't He? There's no saying that says it's what you learn after you know it all that really counts. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Here's the fruit. Watch the fruit. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And that health to your flesh means it will cure what ails you. whatever it is that's eating at you and ailing you, he said it will be health to your flesh and then strength to your bones. It'll be a refreshing to you. You know, even if you're fighting something physically, sickness or whatever, or going through a stressful time or situation, he said there still comes these refreshing times. Still comes the strength and the healing from God on what we need. Can I tell you something? If you're an introvert, here's something I learned about you, and I'll go ahead and give you this. They call it hap hits. If you're an introvert and you energize, and the best way to say that is when we're talking about being healthy to your, bringing health to yourself. Jana had a good time at the banquet last night, and all, and you could tell she did. But when we got home, she was ready to hit the pillow and she's drained. I'm charged. I've been around people. I'm charged up. I'm ready to woo, you know, and talk about it. And she's just, because I've been around people. I'm like Summer. I'm the hit, you know. And I wasn't the hit of the party, but I had fun. And it's just energizing. And man, it just, that's what energizes an extrovert. Introvert, when you're around people, it doesn't mean you don't enjoy people. It just means that all the energy is flowing out of you. While you're enjoying yourself, all the energy is leaving you. And you're ready to go get alone and re-energize. That's how you energize. So you have to kind of know and help God with your body here. But he says, if you'll just let me, and don't know it all. Here's what I think we need to know, though. We need to know our own bodies so we know how to energize and how to recharge, so to speak. And God gives us the ability to know that if we'll listen to him. Some of our friends was eating with them the other night, and she says, or he says to us, he says, you know, I was telling him about the book. She says, he said, you know, it just aggravates me. He said, she can just be just dog tired, and people come around, she just perks up for them. I said, that's the way extroverts do. That's how they recharge. And a light went off in her head, and she bought the book, and now she's been just telling him, this is why you're the way you are. And he's like, would you just quit it? But it's brought understanding to her of how, what's strength to her body and strength to her, refreshing to her. And that's the kind of part of it. And just I just thought I'd give you that because we can help God if we know who we are. If your extrovert spouse or friend is needing time, take them out somewhere. Just let them recharge. And if your friend or spouse is an introvert, get them, you know, make sure they get alone time where they can recharge or however it is they recharge with just you and them. I know if my wife's real tired at night and we come home and I'm talkative, she'll be like, shh. That's health to her flesh and strength to her bones. And so I tone it down a little bit. And I'm already thinking about where I'm going to lunch tomorrow, where my friends are, so I can recharge. These are promises if we just live what God said. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of what? All your increase. There's two words there I want you to get. First and all. With the first fruits of all your increase. Now, Micah didn't mention this, but I think he did mention it because if you're walking humbly with God, giving is just a big part of that, isn't it? And he says, here's the fruit. Watch the fruit. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Here's the fruit. Here's the payoff. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, that's what their modern day was. You know, they had storage places and they'd fill them with seasonal grains and all these kind of things. And the wine was a regular staple in their home. And so you could just take whatever it is today. You know, your checking account, your savings account will be filled and there'll be plenty of groceries in your cupboard. In other words, there'll be plenty for you. Now, did you notice something? It's not about God. When we're giving, it's not about Him, what it will do for Him. When we're giving, it's about what it will do for you. I think you can understand that if we look at our kids. And when our kids give, we like to bless them, don't we? Addie came in today, and I was sitting there. We'd stood for a while, and I thought, I just need to sit down for a minute. And I sat down there, and I had my eyes closed, and I was worshiping the Lord as Caleb was leading us in praise. And just her arms went around me and just hugged me before I could even flinch, you know. And says, I told him I was going to surprise you and give you a hug. I'm like, I need to give you something, you know. Take her and get her some shrimp. That's what she calls shrimp, shrimp. I think God looks at us just like we look at our kids and grandkids when they bless us by their giving. And I think that's why He wants to give to us. And He wants us to know. He puts it everywhere in the Word. Just give. It's better to give, kids, than it is to receive. The reason it's better is not because it's taken out of our account. It's better because of what it does for us. It gives us a feeling of significance. And that's what Summer was feeling last night more than anything. And as she said, I was a hit of the party. It wasn't about her per se. It was about getting to give a part of what she has that made the baby shower better, that just made her feel significant. And it helps our self-esteem. It helps everything. And so giving, as we're walking humbly with God, it's what it does for us. And so everything we do, there should be a part of us that we're giving away, because that's what God said. That's what God says. That's when you're going to feel the increase in the value and the significance, is when you give and we put God first with our giving. It's just, it does something to God and He blesses us. Just like we want to bless our kids when they do something good for us. You know, I mentioned a while ago, even giving back to God is like wrapping something up that He's created and giving it back to Him. You know, but doesn't it still feel good if your kids ever did that for you, or grandkids? Just the thought of it, you know, to know they took time to, you know, or a little card in the mail. You get a little card. It's just something, you know, they just took time. It's not costly, but, you know, they just took time to think of you for a few minutes. And so some of you note writers that you know, God gave you that gift, never underestimate that. That's a great gift that God has given you to invest in people. It's just like me doing a sermon or teacher teaching. It's just, that's your sermonettes that God uses you to encourage people all over the world. It's a gift. So one more time with Micah. Just look at it real quickly and we'll close. He has shown you, O prayer of faith, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, do the right thing. To love mercy, be nice. And to walk humbly with your God. That's it. He said that's what's required. When they were seeking His face, that's what's required. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word today. We make it so complex and You've made it so easy. I pray that You will help us to acknowledge You in all of our ways and stop leaning on our own understanding. We don't have to understand to serve You and to be blessed. We really don't have to understand. We just need to keep walking in what we know. To humbly walk in what we know, whether it's speaking a tough word in love, speaking the truth in love, or forgiving someone that we really don't want to forgive, or loving someone we don't want to love, or giving something we really don't want to give. Help us to humble ourselves and just keep walking where You direct us. Because there's all kinds of fruit and blessing, long life and peace, health, refreshing, and we'll have plenty for this journey. Thank You, Lord, for loving us enough to tell us this is what I require. This is what will help You. This is what will be a blessing. Thank You for giving us simple instruction and help us to follow it so that we can live life and we can live it more abundantly. And all the church said, amen. Amen.